Turn, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. We'll be reading verses 12 through 17 of the 18th chapter of the book of Proverbs, page 685 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word, and we'll read the verses responsively. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The 14th verse is the text verse. Let's reread that, please, together. Ready? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? And let's pray. Lord, thou art gracious to give us this service and to give us this time together. It's a sweet thing to be with the family. It's a wonderful thing to know that when we come here, we'll be helped. If we'll but pay heed and if we'll just listen to the preaching, the teaching of thy word. And so bless in this hour, as the preacher, the preaching, every listener, in Jesus' name, amen.
It's a wonderful scripture. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Shall I paraphrase it? A man's good spirit will keep him well or will help him to bear his illness. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Let me paraphrase it. The spirit of a man will keep him well or give him strength to bear his illness. But when the spirit gets sick, there's nothing left to make you well. And there's nothing that can heal the wounded spirit. The spirit of a man is that agency which sustains him during an illness. Now hear me carefully. But there is no agency to sustain a man during a sick spirit. You see? The doctor's sick then. The medicine is contaminated. The spirit, when the spirit is well, now hear me carefully. When the spirit is well, the spirit sustains us. If you have a headache, a good spirit can sustain you. Let's pray first. Father, help the message and help us to listen with every bit of our attentiveness. Amen. If you have a headache, if your head is wounded, your spirit can sustain you while you have a headache. If you have a heart condition, the spirit can sustain you. If you have a back condition, a good spirit can sustain you. If you have a stomach condition, a good spirit can sustain you. If you have cancer, a good spirit can sustain you. But if you have a sick spirit, then there's nothing that can sustain you. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Now listen, folks, listen. You better keep a good spirit, because the spirit is the doctor to cure everything else. A merry heart doeth what? Good like a what? Medicine. So, no merry heart, no medicine. Now, folks, listen to me. It is almost inevitable that a person that gets a bad spirit is incurable. You know, you get a bad spirit toward, person gets a bad spirit toward a church. Pastors talk about it all the time. I've talked to hundreds of pastors about this. Person gets a bad spirit toward his church, he hardly ever gets a good spirit back. Because there's nothing left to cure a wounded spirit. Because the wounded spirit is the curer. It's like calling the doctor, and the doctor's sick and can't come to help you. And the person that's supposed to be used to help you get well and stay well is sick, and so you have no recourse. There's nothing left to make you well. Now, the great sustainer, listen now, the great sustainer of the human body is the Spirit. And as long as the Spirit is well, then a person can be sustained, but when the Spirit gets sick, you're pretty well gone. It's almost like a person that gets the new car fever. There's no hope. There's no cure. I drove down Garland Road in Garland, Texas in 1953 or 1954. And I saw the cutest little yellow Plymouth the world has ever seen. It smiled at me as I drove by and pointed its headlights toward me. And I turned around in the road and went back to speak to that little doll. It was love at first sight. We were dating and had promised to go steady. But I tried to forget her. But I could not. I laid awake at night thinking about that little yellow Plymouth. I may as well go buy it. I'm going to buy it. The truth is, I know I got a bad deal. Because I had the fever. And once you get it, there's no curing it. And once you get a bad spirit, almost always, you will not be cured. You're led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep dumb before his shearers. Because that thing that you need with which to get healing is sick. I do not know if one person out of 100 that gets a bad spirit toward a church ever eventually stays in that church. Because the healer and the sustainer is sick. And so if tonight a person has an illness that is serious, he can be helped in and through and sometimes delivered from that illness by a healthy spirit. But if a person has his spirit wounded, it's almost incurable. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Those are the words of Job. That these came from his spirit. What sustained Job through the death of his children? His spirit. What sustained Job through the loss of his wealth? His spirit. What sustained Job through the discouragement coming from his wife? His spirit. What sustained Job when he lost his health and got the disease of leprosy called elephantiasis? What sustained him? His spirit. What sustained Job when he was in the ash heap of the city, scraping his pus-filled boils with a piece of metal called a potsherd? What sustained him? His spirit. But when his spirit was broken, Job had nothing left to sustain. For there is, hear me now, there is no spirit sustainer. It's like the battery on a car. It's like the generator on the battery. It's like the fuse in the fuse box, or the breaker in the fuse box. It is that thing that keeps everything else going. You've seen them by the thousands, these godly people that have pain and suffering, and yet their spirit never dims and never wavers, and they're sustained, and they are a blessing to us. Why? Because that health-giving agency called the spirit of a man sustains him in his infirmities. We call it, he gave up. He gave up. He's given up, we say. What is it? No spirit. No spirit to fight. No spirit to live. No spirit to conquer. No spirit to win. And when that is gone, ladies and gentlemen, that is pretty nigh incurable. For the sustainer is broken. The generator is broken. The fuse has blown. The power, the starter, has gone. The engine won't run. The battery is dead. For the spirit of man is the battery that keeps the body and the soul running. But it's gone. Job's spirit later became wounded. And Job had no cure for that and became something less than what he should have been. Moses had an impediment of speech. But his spirit carried him through it and sustained him. Moses had three and a half million people who were alternately criticizing him and praising him. But his spirit sustained him. Moses had enemies from without and from within. But his spirit sustained him. And Moses had no problems as long as his spirit sustained him. He kept a good, healthy spirit. The day came when Moses lost his spirit, got mad, smote the rock twice. Now his spirit is sick, and God knew Moses was gone. Folks, when your spirit's gone, you're gone. You're gone. You lose your spirit, you're gone. And Moses lost his spirit, and God said, I may as well take you to heaven, Moses. When you couldn't talk plainly, your spirit sustained you. When you had battles, your spirit sustained you. When you were physically ill, your spirit sustained you. When you came down from the mountain and saw the golden calf, your spirit sustained you. But now that you've got a bad spirit, now you have a wounded spirit, there's nothing to sustain you. Your sustainer's gone. Elijah, criticized by Ahab, but his spirit sustained. He's lost the foundation that holds up the superstructure. He's lost the muscles that hold together the bones. He's lost the very life and sustenance of his entire life if his spirit gets bad. I can count on the fingers of that hand the people that I know who've gotten a bad spirit ever got cured. You ought to flee it like you'd flee a rattlesnake. Run from it like you'd run a black widow spider. Avoid it like you'd avoid a thief and a robber. This thing of having a spirit that's bad. Now, folks, look. You can get the flu. You can have a good spirit that'll sustain you through that flu. You get the measles, you can have a good spirit that'll sustain you through those measles. But when you get a wounded spirit, hurt feelings, a bad attitude, a bad spirit, you have lost the doctor who makes everything else well. This is not a new thing to tell you, but it fits so beautifully here. My Uncle Harvey was a very wealthy man. I was like a son to him. He never put me in his will. He did not leave me a wealthy man at all. Never left me one dime when he died. I did not want him to, but he loved me dearly. He was proud of me. My dad was an alcoholic, and I was very, very poor, and my rich uncle was proud of me because I went to college and toughed it out. And so he was very close to me. I'll never forget when Uncle Harvey had a stroke. He sat in a wheelchair for several years. I went to see him regularly. And then all of a sudden, because of his stroke, he had an infected foot. And he had to have his leg amputated, or I'd say right below the knee maybe, or his foot amputated anyway. And I went to the hospital before he rolled into surgery, and I stayed there while he was in surgery. I prayed with him before he went in. Uncle Harvey was always the kind of fellow. In fact, my personality has probably been influenced more by my Uncle Harvey than any other individual in the world. He'd walk down the street and he'd see a postman and say, "Hi, Uncle Sam, how are you doing today?" And he's always full of quips and so forth. Anyway, Uncle Harvey woke up from surgery. Now, bear in mind this, folks, his leg is gone. He's lost a part of his body. He woke up, and I said, "Uncle, how is it?" And the first words he said to me were, "Son, I just discovered a cure for an ingrowing toenail." Boy, you can't lick a man of the spirit like that. See? He had no leg, but he had a spirit. And rather have a no leg and a spirit and have a wounded spirit and a good leg. A good leg won't cure a wounded spirit. But a good spirit can sustain you through the loss of a leg. Now, folks, you better listen to me. I'm not trying to salvage a church. Our church is in good shape. We have our share. Well, no, we don't have as many as most churches. We have people here who We have ladies here who have not yet gotten their tongues on the altar because the altar is not long enough. And we have critics here, people that think that God gave them two tongues and one ear. We have some of those. We have less than any church in the whole world. I'm not trying to get back at you or trying to salvage a church. I don't think, you look around here, I don't think I need to worry about that a great deal right now at this minute. I do not believe that this week I'll be voted out. But I'll tell you one thing, as your friend, let me warn you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a cancer that is more deadly than that of the body when you get a cancer of the spirit, and that spirit becomes wounded, and that spirit becomes hurt, and you've lost your spirit, and you have a bad spirit and a wounded spirit, then you've lost everything else in the life. Why? The first place, you'll lose the desire of your friends to be around you. And the second place, you'll lose the sustainer of everything else. And you'll lose that which savors life. You'll lose that flavor. You'll lose that soy sauce. You'll lose that Heinz 57 sauce. You'll lose that steak sauce. You'll lose that soy salt. You'll lose it if you do not keep a healthy spirit. Whatever you do, keep a good spirit. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. No medicine. There's no medicine for a heart that's not merry. By the way, these wounded spirits are not just confined to lay people. Sir Isaac Newton. I suspect Sir Isaac Newton had the best mind of any man that's ever lived since man was created. Probably he did. If I chose one man in the entire history of the world that had the best mind, I'd probably choose Sir Isaac Newton. But Sir Isaac Newton was often seized by periods of depression and almost incurable. In the last days of Mr. Spurgeon's life, he was not well and had to go to, Menon, France, for season. And his spirit was good, but in the last days, he had a wounded spirit, and there was no cure for that. In the last days of Martin Luther, he had a wounded spirit from which he'd never recovered. And the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, you ought to run from it. Always flee it, this matter of a wounded spirit. Now, let me tell you what, let me look at some. A father and a son won't speak. Son said, "The dad didn't treat me right when I was a boy. He beat me. He was unreasonable. He punished me in some ways that were cruel. And I won't speak to I hate my dad." Now, fella, young man, you are hurting no one basically as much as you're hurting yourself. You're not wounding your dad near as much as you're wounding yourself. For that thing will hound you, and that sustainer of infirmity, that sustainer of weakness, that sustainer of failing, that sustainer of bad health is broken. Now, I want to say this too, Dad. I've known dads to be overly righteous. And these are good men, by the way. And they'll say, "My boy did not obey me. He's broken my heart. He's wrecked my name. He's ruined my reputation. And I'll not speak to him. And his spirit is broken. His spirit is wounded." The dad doesn't amount to anything for God because he hides behind the facade of being overly, of being righteous. And the truth is, he's a Pharisee. And his spirit is wounded. I don't care how deep into sin your son goes, he is your son, and you ought to speak to him. I don't care how mean your dad's been to you, he's your dad, and you ought to speak to him. Well, you say he doesn't deserve it. He may not deserve it, but you're going to be the loser if your spirit gets wounded. A son, I know a couple, fine couple. He was a deacon in a church and a fine man, two of the finest people I ever met. For some reason unknown to them and unknown to me, their son got muscular dystrophy. And he began to wilt away. He's a grown man, began to wilt away. And they got a little mad at God about it and blamed God because of it. And God wasn't fair. We've tried to serve you all these years. We've been faithful. We've tithed. We've been soul winning. We've taught Sunday school classes. We've tried to serve you. And now look what you've done. Oh, what you better do instead of accusing God, you better trust God to know what he's doing. And their spirit was wounded. Now they never go to church. They never darken the door of a church. And they are the losers. Why? They've lost every asset that is given by a spirit that's well and healthy. I know a boy, teenage boy, whose dad died, who spent the rest of his teen years looking at boys whose dads were living and having bitterness in his heart toward God because his dad died. Son, trust God. Trust God. Don't let your spirit get wounded. If you get that bitterness toward God and blame God and get that sullen look on your face and that I'm mad at God and I'll not serve God, you have lost. Listen, one of these days you're going to have cancer, but you won't have any spirit to sustain you. One of these days you're going to have financial reversal, but you won't have any spirit to sustain you. Listen, last night we sat here for 2 hours and heard these young men preach. We had the Hiles Anderson preacher boys here last night. Wildest bunch of animals you ever saw in your life. And we had them here. And one after the other, they got up and preached a 6-minute sermon, those that had enough material. One fellow said, I've got a 30-minute sermon. I've got to cram into 6 minutes. One fellow said, I got a 3-minute sermon. I got to extend to 6 minutes. And Big Ed over here said, where's Big Ed? Big Ed said he just flew in from Africa to preach last night. And we voted to take an offering to fly him back. He would stay. And but I'm saying, what a marvelous spirit. It may have been a little wild, but it was good. And a marvelous spirit. And yet, the truth is, I expect there are 25, 30 of these young men out here have been laid off last week. Folks, being laid off won't ruin your life, but a wounded spirit will. Yeah. Having to eat a potato or a piece of bread or just a bowl of beans or a bowl of soup will not ruin your life. In fact, the truth is, most people grow spiritually in times like that. If you can keep your spirit, when you lose that spirit, you've lost everything. A lot of people lose their spirits because they're getting old. I think this thing of getting old is highly exaggerated. I don't see anything really wrong with it. I feel better than I did when I was young, and I'm a whole lot better looking than I was when I was young. What's your spirit? Did you notice the bad spirits when I said that? But you know, let's face it. I know I'm no longer going to be Mr. America. I've got... My spirit's getting bad now. But you know, there are things that substitute for looks when you get older. I'll be glad enough to find out what they are. But it says in the book there are things. But there are. I wouldn't trade being 50 in my 50s. I wouldn't trade that for the 30s. I mean that. I wouldn't do it. I'm serious. And yet I know people. That's why your Hollywood movie starlets, when they get up around 50, 60, 70 years old, become aloof. Won't see anybody. You know why? Because their spirit's gone. Spirit's gone! Oh, I like these guys that have got spirit when you get old, and spirit while you're sick, and a well spirit! But you get a bad attitude in school, in the office, at home, at work, in a church, you get a bad attitude and you are the loser. Why? Because, listen, folks, you've got to know that I carry a heap of a load on the shoulders. You've got to know that. You would not believe the sordid, sorry, filthy, dirty, weighty problems I've got to solve in the next 3 or 4 days. You wouldn't believe it. And boy, I could get bitter toward the human race. But I'm not going to do it. I want to have a well spirit so I can be sustained when I'm not well. Be sustained when I'm not strong. Be sustained when I have burdens. Be sustained when I have a heartache. It's that spirit of optimism and joy and excitement and cooperation and love and service. It's that kind of, well, that's what keeps you going. That keeps you going when you're flat on your back. That keeps you going when you've got a heart trouble. That keeps you going when you've got a stroke. That keeps you going when you have reversals. That keeps you going when you don't have a job. The Spirit. And some have feelings, hurt feelings at church, develop a bad spirit. Or others have, somebody's wronged you. I want to testify. I've been pastoring over 32 years. I began pastoring 32 years ago, 2 months ago. I have had, God has given me a productive ministry, far more than I deserve. In those 32 years, I've only had 6 months that were not productive. I've only known 6 months in 32 years without a growing church. I've known 6 months where there was not enthusiasm and zeal and the obvious presence of God in the churches I pastored. And those 6 months took place a quarter of a century ago when somebody did me wrong. And I developed a spirit that was not completely well. And I'd walked the pulpit with some little chip on my shoulder. I didn't know what I know now. I didn't have the experience I have now. And I'd walked the pulpit with some little chip on my shoulder. And some little bitterness in my heart towards somebody. And by the way, these people had done me a terrible injustice and wronged me. But I wanted to get back at them. And I wanted to say, I'll tell them all. I'll tell the whole world what they did to me. And in so doing, I had a bad spirit. And because of that, the only 6 months of these 32 years that were not productive were those 6 months. Now, folks, you can't lie. I don't care what folks do to you. Rumors they spread. Gossip they spread. What it is. Whatever it is. You can't let it wound your spirit, or you've lost the sustainer of every other area of life. I know a preacher. Marvelous preacher. Wonderful preacher. Far better preacher than I. Brilliant man. Singer. Concert pianist. Used to direct a choir. What kind of a choir? What's a concert choir called? It's a big word for some kind of a concert choir. Huh? What? No, it's a bigger word than that. Ah, no, you're dumb as I am. Anyway, a tremendous preacher. And he, listen, that man had everything, I mean, he had everything Lee Robertson has, as far as I could tell. He had the traits of a giant. He had the ability of a great preacher, and he was headed somewhere. But he got a bad spirit. And he got bitter. And it soon became incurable. And that man now is teaching in a secular college in Washington, D.C. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? I know two preachers in a distant state. One preacher pastored a church. He left the church, came back, started another church in the same area. He shouldn't have done it. Was it unethical? He shouldn't have done it. Went back and started another church. And numbers of the members of the church he used to pastor came over and helped him start his church. And the fellow where he was, the fellow who took his place, who lost the members, got bitter. And he got bitter, and they wouldn't speak. Now look, if the fellow lost some members, a good spirit can sustain him through it. Fellow's got a little financial problem in his church, a good spirit can sustain him. But if a fellow loses his spirit, there's nothing left to sustain him. And the poor preachers, both of them, plunged into mediocrity. Now, they've come out of it, thank God, because they're great men. But the cure is sick. The doctor is ill. I know two deacons in a church I used to pastor. Went in business with each other. Watch it. Went in business together. And it wasn't long till one of them thought the other had cheated him out of some money. And before you knew it, those deacons got on the outs of each other. They broke up. And I do not know if they speak today. I don't know. Now, I happen to know that those deacons, in one case, illness has been in that family, and I've never seen a man that stood up better in the face of illness because he had a good spirit. This thing about the wounded spirit, when that came, there's no cure for that. Now, what to do? By the way, before I say that, I mentioned this morning, Glenn Smith. The spirit. People who've been ill in our church for months. Meredith Popper was sick for good night. For she's still not completely well, but she was sick and didn't know what was wrong with her for much of the time. Then found surgery and surgery again and surgery again, I guess. And yet she hasn't lost her spirit. And Bob hasn't lost his spirit. The Bulis. Nancy Bulis been sick. I mean months and months and months and months. And one thing after another, they've been through. But the spirit sustains them. The Butchers. The Belvins. The Strombergs. And others. The Spirit can sustain you when you lose a loved one. The Spirit can sustain you at the graveside. The Spirit can sustain you in the operating room. The Spirit can sustain you in the intensive care ward. The Spirit can sustain you as you sit beside the baby. The Spirit can sustain you if you're sick or sad or bereaved or heartbroken. But ladies and gentlemen, you lose your spirit. There's nothing left to sustain you. Danger, danger, danger lurks ahead if you have a bad spirit. Now, what should you do? In the first place, bathe yourself in the Word of God. Bathe yourself. Bathe yourself in the Word of God. Every Christian, every person born of God ought to live in the book. And every person born of God ought to get his Bible, and he ought to turn to Psalm 119, and he ought to read verse 165, and he ought to make it his life's verse, if not his life's verse, one of them. Listen to this. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Did you hear that? Nothing. In a time you get your feelings hurt, you mark it down. You've not been this book enough. In a time you're offended, you mark it down. You've not been this book enough. I don't care what folks have done to you. If you love the Bible, nothing shall offend you. Live in the book. Read it. Memorize it. Love it. Meditate on it. Chapter after chapter, day after day, week after week, month after month. There, you don't have to have hurt feelings. But you sit in the house. You just don't know what. I don't care what he did. You're stupid to let it get you offended. Because you're the loser. Lay home at night, tossing, tumble, can't sleep at night because you're mad at him. He's home sleeping. You're not hurting anybody when you get mad at somebody. A tenth as much as you're hurting yourself. Oh, the disease is caused by bitterness. Oh, the disease is caused by hurt feelings. Oh, the disease is caused by a bad spirit, a wounded spirit. I wonder how many folks have been cured by a good spirit. Now, I don't care who you are. Nobody said the things about you they've said about me. I don't care who you are. You haven't got 1/100th the enemies I have. I don't care who you are. Compared to me, you are in the first grade of being criticized. Everywhere I go, just about. Somebody walks up and I want to apologize to you for all the dirty things I've said about you. I hate that worse than anything in the whole world. Look, get right with God, but don't tell me anything about it. Fellas, I've been spreading rumors about you all over the country. I want you to forgive me. Oh, well, good night. Shut up, shut up, shut up. But, buddy, I'm not real smart. But I'm smart enough to know who's the loser when I got a bad spirit. And I'm not going to let some idiot who's done me wrong sleep at night while I'm lying there awake. No, sir. Because I'll step and hate him. That'll show him. Boy, I'll get ulcers and he'll be sorry. That's what you'll do. What you'll do. Bathe yourself in the Bible and listen, don't forget it. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. I said nothing shall offend them. I said nothing shall offend them. But I said nothing shall offend them. I said nothing shall offend them. But he did. I said nothing shall offend them. But he said, I said nothing shall. But he did. I said nothing shall offend them. But he went, I said nothing. I said nothing. There is not one thing in this world that can offend the Christian who loves and stays in this book. I'm going to get mad at me. Yeah, go ahead. Let your kids go to the devil. Lose your spiritual place where you eat. Be bitter. And go somewhere and tell them how much you hate Ohio. Boy, that'll get them. I'm sleeping. Oh, you're laying awake hating me. I'm just... Yeah, I'm sleeping. Brother, being hated doesn't keep you awake at night, but hating does. And being criticized doesn't keep you awake at night, but criticizing does. You've been nasty, and you've been nasty too. Or at. Quit proofreading me while I preach. I hate somebody proofreading me. Just scratch that out and wrote another word beside it. But you know what I'm talking about. A bad spirit. Now I say this also about what to do when you have a wounded spirit. Don't move. Don't move. If you've got a wounded spirit, don't you use that wounded spirit as a decision maker to affect your entire life. Because your decision maker is broken. Because that good spirit is that thing which keeps your decision maker well. But when the spirit's broken and the spirit's wounded, then you sit tight. Don't you go anywhere. I mean, if you're mad, if you came to another church to visit tonight and you're mad there and upset there, don't you join this church tonight. Now, if God leads you to join this church, that's one thing. But don't you decide to change churches while you have a wounded spirit. Unless you're rich. Now I want to say this, and I'm coming down to the end. Listen carefully now. What to do if you have a spirit that's wounded? Don't be around other wounded spirits. Wounded spirits attract each other. And listen, there's no disease. Listen carefully now. There's no disease. None. As contagious as a wounded spirit. You can catch a wounded spirit faster than you can catch hepatitis. You get around folks that have a bad spirit. It's catching. Contagious. I know people that work. Some of our secretaries of our offices. If you don't watch out, you're going to develop a hideous spirit. If you work in an office with somebody that has a wounded spirit, don't hang around them. Get around the folks that are optimistic. Get around the folks that are happy. Don't get around the wounded spirits. You'll catch it. Oh, you say, I want to help her. You won't help her. She'll spoil. Listen, look. If the person has hepatitis, you say, I'm going to go get close to him so he'll catch my wellness. I've got to breathe on him. He'll catch my good health. You don't do that, buddy. It's always a disease that's caught with a person that's well. And when a person has a good spirit, gets around somebody who has a bad spirit, before you know it, you caught the disease. And when you've caught that disease, you'll gripe about everything bad that happens to you. You'll complain about all the negative things in life. If you go to school, don't hang around the gripers. You'll be a griper. Don't hang around the complainers. You'll be a complainer. Don't hang around the negative spirits. You'll have a negative. You'll catch it. Sing to them, don't breathe on me. Don't hang around them. Say, who's going to help them? Nobody's going to help them. And you dead sure aren't. There's nothing so contagious as complaining. There's nothing so contagious as a negative spirit. There's nothing so contagious as griping. There's nothing so contagious as criticism. There's nothing so contagious as gossip. There's nothing so contagious as sarcasm. There's nothing so contagious as slander. Nothing. Young folks, somebody in your school has a bad spirit, don't hang around him. Somebody in your office has a bad spirit, don't hang around him. Somebody in your shop has a bad spirit, don't hang around him. Years ago when I was a kid, my good friend Richard Newton and I used to have a little something we did that we didn't have anything else to do. We'd go downtown, Dallas, pretty good sized city. Over a million people live there now. At that time, I guess a third of a million people. We'd go downtown Dallas in the corner of Elm and Ackard, the main corner in Dallas at that time. We'd get out on the curb and look up. Just the two of us. Fellow walked by and now we got three, just looking up. Now, he doesn't want to admit there's nothing up there. He'll be the oddball in the group, you see. He's just looking up. A couple walks by. He says, look at those fools. Listen, Richard Newton and I have had over 200 people on the corner of Elm and Ackard Street in downtown Dallas looking at nothing in the sky. Nothing. Nothing. And then we do this. We didn't do that. But turn it up someplace. We do this. Fell walk by. What you gonna be? Huh? What you gonna be? Look at me a minute. Everybody look right at me. Carefully. Look at me. See how catching it is? Huh? You didn't laugh because you didn't look at me. It's catching. A good spirit! Catching! I used to preach in a colored church, and I'm not going to the whole story. Black church, every Wednesday night. First. And, see, another shipload just came in. Boy, they'd get wild. They'd dance in the aisles. And boy, the first time I went there, I thought, now they ought not do that. But at 11 o'clock at night, I was dancing in the aisles. Yes, sir. Why? It's catching. So is a bad spirit. One of the saddest things that I see in my life, and I've seen it in this church, and every church I've ever pastored, and every preacher in the world who's pastored a church 6 months has seen it. Some of the happiest, dearest, best spirits in the church start fellowshipping with wounded spirits. And I've seen the finest, happiest folks in the church become negative, cynical, and critical. I want to tell you something, folks. They are hardly ever salvaged. It's a fever that is almost incurable. A disease that is almost beyond treatment. Why? Because God has given us a tool built in that is the sustainer of the entire human anatomy and makeup. And that sustainer, that energizer, that health giver, that is the spirit of man. And that spirit of man is that which sustains every infirmity the human mechanism can know. But when that spirit is wounded, there is nothing in the framework of man to sustain that illness. In the body, Doc, is it the white corpuscles that fight disease? In the body, boy, if you miss that one, you're in trouble. In the body, you got these little disease fighters, little soldiers. You got this army of corpuscles. Some are sergeant puzzles, maybe too, but it. Only a good spirit's going to sustain me through that. But this army of corpuscles, if I skin my hand and it gets infected, what happens? These little corpuscles call out an emergency. And they say there's a place that we're needed. And they rush to that wounded, infected place. And they attack that infection. They used to call that passing the crisis years ago. They attack that infection. And they defeat the enemy. And destroy the germ. Why? They are that part of the body to keep the body well and cure it. But when they are sick, there's nothing left. And when your spirit is sick, there's nothing left. The doctor is sick, and there's nothing to sustain your infirmities. Let me ask you a question. Now, I'm not trying to cure anything, make you like me, salvage the church, prevent a church split, keep you from transfer. I'm not trying to do that at all. I just want you to have that well spirit, that good, positive, happy sustainer of life. I want it to be well for your sake. Let me ask you a question. Is your spirit a little wounded tonight? Are you bitter at somebody? Do you harbor something in here? Are you upset about something? Do you feel like you've gotten a bad shake in life? Do you have something against God, maybe? Or against your dad, or against your mom, or against anybody in the whole world, or against the child? Is there a wounded spirit? Quickly, if there is, rush around some good spirits. Stay around them. And maybe they can help you. Or let me ask you this question. Have you been associating too closely with wounded spirits? Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. There's no vaccination that can prevent you getting a wounded spirit. No inoculation. There's no flu shot or wounded spirit shot. None. And there's no wounded spirit penicillin or wounded spirit sulfur drug or wounded spirit aspirin. There has not been found by mankind a cure for a wounded spirit. Except as you dig in this book and gain the strength that God Almighty can give you, and live in that verse, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Our Heavenly Father, I'll preach better someday, but I'll never preach anything Christians need any more than this. And I'll never alert Christians to an epidemic, or of an epidemic that is any more vital and deadly and dangerous than this one.